Good morning, dearly beloved children of God. It's Wednesday, the 24th of November. You know what? There are only 31 shopping days before Christmas. And already my Advent calendar has only got 3 chocolates left. I'm going to have to buy a new Advent calendar. We continue looking today at Proverbs in chapter 6 and verses 16 to 19. And I'm praying that we will again be challenged to re-examine our closely guarded values, both the good and the not-so-good values, and that this will lead us to a repentance or change in the way of thinking, and that this change will bring about a different, a new way of living. But first, let's read today from the Amplified Bible, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. These 6 things the Lord hates. Indeed, 7 are an abomination to him. A proud look, i.e. the spirit that makes one overestimate one himself and underestimate others. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that manufactures wicked thoughts and plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies even under oath, and he who sows discord among his brothers. The main focus of our week's meditation is learning to love the things which God loves and to hate the things which he hates. Today I'm looking at 2 sins, and further 2 sins from the list that we've read, which are birthed and allowed to flourish in the heart of a person in whom the love of God has not taken root. I'm talking about a lying tongue and a false witness who breathes out lies even under oath. We have all experienced the effects of people who are economical with the truth. It is a sad reality in our country that we've had to live through the truth and Reconciliation Commission under the chairmanship of Bishop Desmond Tutu. And more recently, we have had the Zondo Commission. And we are eagerly awaiting the findings from this lengthy and costly commission. But what has left many in our country with feelings of astonishment and incredulity, that is, neither commission has resulted in the desired truth and reconciliation being accomplished. Why is this the case? Simply because there has been a manifest economy with the truth, even under oath. There was also a Truth and Reconciliation Commission in the Bible. The result of this commission was very different, because a great fear came on the whole church and on all who heard these things. That's Acts chapter 5 and verse 11. From this reference, you will gather that I am referring to the display of God's reaction to Ananias and Sapphira lying under oath. I am convinced that had they not been economical with the truth, there would have been a very different ending to their lives. I am also assured of this, that we have all at some point fallen prey to fake news. You, of course, have heard or know about the Eiffel Tower that has been sold many times over throughout its history. We laugh at something that is so silly. But the folk who paid their hard-earned cash are not laughing. How many older folk in our country, for instance, have lost their pensionable future when believing the lies of smooth-talking salespeople? We have all fallen prey to believing lies. And I mean this. Satan, whom Jesus calls the father, the originator of lies, deceived Adam and Eve into believing that God's declared word is not true. The same is happening even today. He has continued to successfully sell his lies to many, even in the church. I have come in contact with so many faithful church attendees who live far below par believing the lie that they are not worthy of God's infinite, boundless, and super abundant love. Many people in the church are quick to believe fake news. I'm not just talking about the fake news which results from the clever editing of video footage. What about believing the fake news that only certain super Christian leaders can pray successfully for others or heal the sick? Or what about the many who are convinced that their sin is greater than God's ability or desire to forgive? How about the fake news we give when we declare our faith in Jesus, but the way we conduct our lives declares that he has no influence on our decisions, on our values, and our behavior? Some of these ungrounded lies become fiercely held doctrines. But the sad thing is that many of these same folk then give false testimony both through their words and even through their lives. I'm thinking of the many in the church who are convinced that the witch doctors hold more power than the single drop of the blood of Jesus. I once heard a preacher quip that there are more baptized pagans attending church Sunday morning services. And we don't love to pass on, don't we? We do love to pass on juicy gossip. Many of us have done it. We have posted something on the internet when we had thought we were, incorrectly so, that we had all the facts. Or we've written something slamming a brother or sister in Christ personally without taking them or talking to them in person first. To top it off, with the advent of social media, even the smallest piece of gossip can unleash a firestorm of slander, spreading false statements that are damaging to the reputations of others. One of the early church saints, St. John Chrysostom, said, and I quote, "Let the mouth also fast from distasteful speeches and railings. For what does it profit if we abstain from fish and fowl and yet bite and devour our brothers and sisters? The evil speaker eats the flesh of his brother and bites the body of his neighbor." Unquote. Yet another of the early desert fathers, Abba Dorotheos, said, There is nothing that angers God more, nothing that exposes us so much and leads to our isolation than gossip, than condemning and slandering or slaughtering other people. I believe that it would be good if we would hold before our eyes the swift manner in which God dealt with Ananias and Sapphira. Better still, maybe asking God to give us, and I quote, "the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." That's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 to 19. So at the beginning of this day, let's pray together. Father in God, Father God at least, I ask you, examine my heart, Lord, and see if there is any way in which I have been guilty of believing false news, spreading false news, believing lies. Lord, I want to see you. I want to know you and to reveal you through my life to others. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.